Welcome to Messiah's Branch Broadcast, a program dedicated to biblical truth and prophecy featuring Pastor Dan of the Messiah's Branch Ministry. And now, here's Pastor Dan.
Welcome to Mission Watch, another Messiah's Branch national satellite radio program. We're broadcasting from the Flint Hills of Kansas, and we're on the American Voice Radio Network. The broadcast date for this program is November 18, 2012. Saints, the world is in turmoil. Most just don't realize it, but we are in the time of the end, and that's the time before Messiah's glorious return. So it's time to get out of sin, the world, and look to the holy city. Look to the one who suffered and died for you. Please make this choice tonight. If you need a prayer or help with anything after this program, call me. If you get the machine, please leave your name, your number, your prayer request, your message, and I will pray for you or with you. And remember, when you say your telephone number, make sure that you say it slowly and clearly, as well as your name, and I will call you back. And you can also email me if you want, if you can't get me on the phone, and send me your phone number, and I'll call you back. You are important to me. The phone number is 620-878-4682, 620-878-4682. And you can always find help, find updates with the breaking news, our ministry, radio program archives, our mailing address at our blog, and that's at prophecyhour.com, prophecyhour.com. And you folks that are listening on satellite radio, or by some of you folks that are listening by telephone, you can just use that telephone to call me. Again, that number is 620-878-4682 for any kind of a question that you might have. Now then, we're going to say a prayer, and we're going to bring on tonight's guest. Dear Heavenly Father, in Yeshua HaMashiach's name I pray. Father, I pray that radio tonight goes according to your will and not mine, nor my guest's will, but your will, Father. And please give us all ears in which to hear the truth and guidance. Amen and amen. Well, tonight's guest is the author of Unsung David's, 10 Men Who Battled Goliath Without Glory. Radio Talk, he's also a radio talk show host who broadcasts the Fort Hood Market, and writer whose articles have appeared on Brett Mark's Big Government and Big Peace websites, as well as the American Thinker, Pajamas Media, and WorldNet Daily. And in that little thing, I don't know why he doesn't mention that he also does work at Wallet Shoebot, or is it Shoebot.com? Anyway.
You know, Pastor Dan, you just gave me an idea. I guess I need to add Shoebot.com to my list there.
All right. Let me finish introducing you already. Anyway, this guy that you just heard is one of my favorite guests to have on due to his wit. You just heard that. And his accuracy in the topics he speaks on. He's also fast becoming one of your favorites, as I can tell from the plays and downloads to the radio archives, in which you can also find those at prophecyhour.com. Now, I seem to have already been talking to him, but we welcome him back to speak on a subject that he calls blackmail by the White House. Okay, now you can talk. Welcome back, Ben Burak.
It's Ben.
I knew you could say that. That's why I said it.
Yeah, you helped me get my tagline out. Yeah, so it's interesting that, you know, we've got this David Petraeus kind of situation.
Wait a minute. I'm interrupt you now. Back up.
Sure.
What is it you're going to make? What kind of testimony are you going to change? We all want to know. You already started to tell us.
What testimony?
Well, on your little thing that you wrote, I sit here and I said, well, I don't know why you didn't say something about WalletShoeBat.com.
Yeah, I would just I guess to the byline, I guess I'm going to have to add also rights for Shoebot.com.
Yeah, that would really be good because, you know, you have a lot of interesting things over there. And so who's WalletShoeBat?
I'm glad you check it out.
Well, who is he?
Wally?
Well, I know, but who is he?
Waleed is a former member of the Muslim Brotherhood in America, and also a PLO member who converted to Christianity, and you've had him on your program. One of the things that he's doing lately that I think he's really caught fire on in the last, I would say, year and a half, if not 2 years ago, is this. He's an excellent analyst when it comes to Middle Eastern issues. I mean, he's broken so many stories lately that are just bombshells. I mean, when it comes to he translates Arabic into English, but it's right. Not just about translating Arabic into English. It's about translating the right Arabic into English, and he's a master at that.
Right, you know, and it's pretty amazing to see him do that, because there really doesn't seem to be anybody else out there that's doing that. And it's like it's kind of like the Arabic, you know, the Arabs are over there speaking like nobody can understand them, you know, when you see some of the things that they say. And so it's really amazing to see what he puts out. It really is. And tell them where they can find that.
Well, if you go to shoebat.com, shoebat.com, the site is updated, and I would every day. I would direct people to, you know, appeal to folks to look at the left-hand column of the website, of the homepage. There are different photos there. There are photos of Barack Obama and his grandmother. I mean, you watch that, you click on that photo, you will get all the research that he's done, and it is mind-blowing. Underneath that, you've got a photo of Nakula Bateli Nakula, the guy behind the Innocence of Muslims film, this anti-Muhammad video that supposedly caused all these riots and terrorist attacks. What you will find when you click on that is research about that. And interestingly enough, it involves his partner in crime, the filmmaker, Nakula Bateli Nakula. His partner in crime for years has been the cousin of Waleed Shabbat. Waleed knows this guy. He knows his cousin very well, and there is potentially a Muslim fundamentalist connection to the creation of that film. And, you know, just go down the list of all the photos you see in the left-hand column of the website, and what you will find when you click those things on will blow your mind.
Well, my question then is, I'm sure what the people would ask, well, what is it that you do with him, you know? What's your job?
Well, I just write a lot of pieces on his website. I just got done posting one about the topic that we're talking about tonight, about the Benghazi situation and the potential involvement of the White House in this, and their knowledge of the affair of General Petraeus that he was in. So I guess one of the things that I may offer to his site is the fact that I'm familiar with more of the Western style politics angle and to the Islamic situation. You know, Waleed is very connected and understands the Islamic threat, the Islamic dynamic, the Arabic. He's dialed in a lot of that. But when it comes to the nexus, if you will, that brings American Western politics and how Congress works and that kind of thing, he's not as maybe familiar with that. So I can kind of bring that into what he does, and it seems to be a good fit.
Yeah, it's a very good fit. And folks, he answered part of the question why that he is one of my favorite guests, because Waleed's a very busy man, and so has Ben. But the point is by getting Ben on, I get the benefit of what Waleed has been also researching. And so there's another good reason why we need to have Ben on. And Ben, you tell them, before we get into the Benghazi thing, tell them again, you do a radio program, and that's at your site. Tell them where that's at.
Yeah, that's at benbarrack.com, BenBarrack.com. All of my programs are archived. It's a weekly, like you, it's a weekly 1 hour program. I do far more writing than I do, the radio show, but the radio show is kind of taking the best of the best that I've been able to write about and culling it down to an audio, program that I work real hard to make sure that I deliver a top-notch program with the best information 1 hour a week. And one more thing, one of the chapters in my book is about Waleed. And Waleed is a guy who has had to deal with smears and accusations of fraud, of being a fraud, from various angles. Those are left-wing smear merchants, and if you pick up Unsung Davids, you will read all about why those smears are just that. They are smears. Waleed's story is accurate, and it's a slam dunk. I mean, if you pick up the book, you'll find out. If you have doubts about whether or not to believe what he's saying, pick that up, and I think it'll reinforce that you should.
Absolutely. And while we're on top of your book, we'll say a couple more words about it before we get into this other. Folks, some of the other people that have been on, or that are in that book, I've had as radio guests. And, I'm going to call it, well, he calls them Unsung Davids, I'm going to call them Unsung Heroes. And these people will, seeing what they did to stand up into the face of evil, and that's what I call it, you will give you encouragement to do those kind of things yourself. And realize that it's not always, huge numbers of people that stand against the tide that changes things. It's usually just one or two people that makes an impactful difference. And they're usually common people with impeccable courage, like Waleed Shebat.
Well, and it's funny. I've heard, there's a saying kind of stuck in my head as I was writing that book. There's a saying that kind of stuck in my head, and it's, people who are crazy enough to think that they can change the world are usually the ones who do.
Yeah, amen. I like that saying. People who are crazy enough to... Say that again.
People who are crazy enough to think they can change the world are usually the ones who do.
Well, hey, that folks, it looks like I'm going to change the world. No. Just Ben's gonna do that. He's the craziest one. Yeah, Ben's the crazy one. He's the craziest one of us. Okay, now then, I guess we could talk about tonight's subject, but that's all right. I love the back and forth with you, and it makes for good listening. Folks like it. Anyway, blackmailed by the White House, Petraeus.
Yeah.
What's going on?
Well, David Petraeus is a 4-star general. He is a CIA. He was the CIA director until just last week, and he succumbed to what so many are susceptible. We're all susceptible to. That's the whole "lead us not into temptation, deliver us from evil." We have got to be aware of the fact that it's this these types of falls from grace and this is the weakness of man. But he did. He fell from. He succumbed to it. He engaged in an extramarital affair. This in and of itself is not what I believe should be newsworthy. It's not about the affair, and it's not about the salaciousness. It's not about engaging in all of this, because that's what the American public seems to be most interested in. I mean, if you look at the Anthony Weiner scandal, everybody was interested in that part of the scandal while ignoring who he was married to. And you and I have talked about that, the Huma Abedin scandal.
Let me butt in. Okay. Two things is, yes, folks, the scandal, we did do it. You can go to the archives and find those programs, and they're pertinent for today. But I just have to say, Ben, I cannot have you anybody say that name Weiner, Anthony Weiner, without just busting out laughing. Could you imagine having a name like that? My goodness.
Yeah.
Okay. Anyway, all right, folks. Back to we're G-rated here. Let's go on.
Yeah. So all that aside, news breaks that David Petraeus was engaged in an affair and resigned after the election. Now, this is where we can, you can go into two different directions at that point. You can go down the road of the salaciousness of the scandal and the affair, or you can decide to delve deeper into the Benghazi situation. And we have a full-blown scandal separate from the extramarital affair, and that is what Petraeus knew what he testified to, and so, and you also have the timing of his resignation. We, you know, the election happens on Tuesday. News gets into the White House about the affair on Tuesday night. It gets reported, and the president learns about it 2 days after the election, and then Petraeus has resigned on Friday. Now, this is days after the election, and before Petraeus is supposed to testify in front of congressional committees about the Benghazi attack. So you have Lieutenant Colonel Ralph Peters, who last week went on with Neil Cavuto and said that what this smells like to him is that the reason that Petraeus, that this scandal came out, was that Petraeus was getting cold feet about towing the Obama line in front of a congressional committee. That line is and has been that the video, the anti-Mohammed video, was responsible for the attack in Benghazi, which we all know is not true. We all know that's not true.
Right.
And on September 13th, which is 2 days after the 9/11 attacks, Petraeus told a committee in closed session that it was a spontaneous reaction to the video. He basically towed the Obama line on September 13th in front of a committee. Well, now, if Ralph Peters is correct in saying that he believes that Petraeus got cold feet and the Obama administration had this affair in their back pocket to drop whenever they needed to, then we have a full-blown scandal. We have the potential for blackmail. Now, we're to believe that Barack Obama did not know about this affair until 2 days after the election. Yet, what we have also learned, if you're inclined to accept that, then hang on, because what we've also learned is that the FBI has been investigating his affair with a woman named Paula Broadwell. Paula Broadwell is his biographer, and the way that she got access to him is curious in and of itself. But we're to believe that the FBI began investigating this last spring. That Eric Holder learned about it about the same time as the 9/11 attack. They refer to it as late summer is when he learned about it. He did not inform the president that when he learned about this, and let's just say it was around September 11th. I don't know when late summer is, but let's just say it was about 2 months before the election. So for 2 months before the election, Eric Holder, who has already been beleaguered by a Fast and Furious scandal that found him in criminal contempt of Congress and civil contempt of Congress, is facing a civil trial to get these documents produced, that Obama served executive privilege over. You would think that Eric Holder would be much more forthcoming within his administration if there's something like a CIA director being investigated by the FBI.
Okay, I've been listening to the news, reading the news and sources on this. One thing that's portrayed, folks, is that you need to understand about the relationship between Barack Obama and Eric Holder. Eric Holder, is the fact that these guys are friends, in another nature. And so, whether they do state dinners or stuff, they have a personal life where they talk. Now, they want us to believe, Ben, that this man kept back from his personal friend, the president, that his top guy is having an affair, whether it was on the record or off the record, you would think, it would be ludicrous to think that he wouldn't have told him, don't you think?
Absolutely. Especially in light of, we just got done with 2 years of investigating Fast and Furious, and one of the common themes that kept coming up was, you didn't talk to so-and-so, you had no conversations about this when you knew this, and, you know, that was a common theme. So you would think that at some point these guys would say, hey, we should probably start talking with each other. But,
yeah.
But one of the reasons that the Petraeus thing and the sexual scandal is important is, you know, people might look at this and say, well, you know, like Bill Clinton, it's just about sex. There's nothing, you know, it's whatever, you know, no big deal. Well, no, what it does is it opens you up for being blackmailed. That's why relationships matter. That was the whole situation with the Huma Abedin thing. Relationships matter when you're talking about getting top security clearances. It's not about, you know, being found guilty by association. No, this is about relationships. So now you have General David Petraeus, who engaged in an extramarital affair. What's being said is sometime shortly after he left the military to go with the CIA, and then it lasted several months. So we're looking at August, September of 2011 through, you know, March of 2012. And so, but the reason that it's important is that it opens up people like Petraeus and anybody else at that level to blackmail. Now, here's the irony, is that the FBI is investigating him beginning in the spring of this year.
Mm-hmm.
So it's the FBI who knows about Petraeus, and he then, in the week of October 28th, he knew that they were investigating him when they interviewed him. So if there's ever, and he knew, obviously, had known that they'd been investigating for some time. So obviously, if he's open to blackmail, the people who know about it are the ones in the administration itself. So, you know, we're all talking about, well, you know, he might be exposed to blackmail, if that's why this is an issue. Well, the people who knew about it are the people in the administration, are his superior. Those are the people that could potentially, you know, make, you know, use blackmail. And here we are on September 13th, 2 days after the 9/11 attacks, David Petraeus, who knows at this time, on September 13th, knows that the administration officials, the people high up in the administration, at least the FBI, know about his affair. Now, on September 13th, he gave false testimony to Congress. He said it was a spontaneous reaction to the video. Now, the question then becomes, did he knowingly give false testimony? Well, now here we introduce Paula Broadwell, his mistress. Okay, let's bring her out of here and bring her front and center. On October 26th, which was a few weeks prior to that, she was at a symposium at the University of Denver. And at that symposium, and it's on video, you can watch it. At that symposium, she says that there is information that the reason that the consulate in Benghazi was attacked was because the annex, the CIA annex there, was housing Libyan prisoners. Now, if that's correct, and she also said that Petraeus and the CIA knew what happened in Benghazi within 24 hours. Okay, we know now that she has access, she had access to top, you know, to top secret information. We've got FBI at her house. She's got top secret information on her computer. It's been confiscated. You know, she had access to information. There's also another video from her in July of this year where she said she has a top security clearance and she had access to everything. So if she were to say that on October 26th of this year, then there's a strong likelihood that there is some truth to it. Because so that means that Petraeus knowingly, that, I mean, if that's true, that would mean that Petraeus didn't just give false testimony, but that he gave knowingly false testimony.
Okay.
If her words are to be believed.
Okay. Let me address that, because we only got about 2 minutes before break anyway. Let me address that, and we'll come back into it again. Let's think about her for a minute. You know what she sounds like she's saying is kind of like what you call pillow talk, you know.
Yes, correct.
That goes on between a man and a female, you know, and just eyeless chatter. For her to make up a story like that, there's really no motivation in doing it. I don't see any motivation in making a story, do you?
No,
not at all. And so, you know, it's a very tedious thing, folks. You need to really have a second look at it. But we're going to go over to break, and we're going to come back, and we're going to finish talking about this because there's some more that needs to be talked about it. Unsung Davids, the book, great book. Where can they get it?
You can go to BenBarrett.com. Top right-hand corner, there's a picture of it. You just click it. It will take you to wherever you need to go to order it.
And, folks, if nothing else, you go over there and listen to his radio programs. Hear him when he's live on radio and he isn't talking to me. I'm sure he doesn't cut up as much. Anyway, we'll be back. There he is. Anyway, folks, we'll be back in about 3 minutes with more with Ben. All right.
An expert says about distilled water. If you decide on bottled water, make sure it's distilled. However, in the long run, you'll save money if you clean your water at home. It's more convenient than hauling gallon jugs from the store. The gold standard for purifying your water is a system that distills your water and filters it. You have the comfort of knowing there is no chlorine, fluoride, bacteria, viruses, pesticides, or lead. You get nothing but H2O, maximum health. Dr. Robert G. Willits, Jr., M.D. Order your tabletop water distiller for $139.99 postpaid. It comes with everything you need to get pure distilled water. Go to superstore.theamericanvoice.com. That's superstore.theamericanvoice.com. Order now.
Israel, Israel, I am the great seed.
Back. This is Pastor Dan Catlin, and you're listening to Mission Watch on the American Voice Radio Network. Please remember to pray tonight about a donation for our work with the homeless and poor from our mission church in Wichita, Kansas. Of course, folks, the homeless are poor, but we also have poor from all over the city that come in seeking food, they come in seeking clothing, they come in seeking all kinds of things, as well as prayers and the gospel, and just you name it, they come in. Anyway, Thanksgiving is next Thursday, and so we still need donations for Thanksgiving. If you live in Wichita, I'm talking to you Wichita folks, if you got any extra pies or any other foods that you'd like to donate towards the meal, we can arrange it. Just call me, and you can reach me at 630-878-4682 or my cell phone, which is 316-619-4886. Just think about it. You want to make a special plate for the homeless? We'll bring it in, and we'll share it. My wife will be over there before time, so you don't have to drop it off on Thanksgiving. Anyway, we also need hats and gloves and coats because, you know, it's cold out there, and we need, while people have been sending them, I need more over-the-counter cold medications, as well as we really need folks' donations to catch up on winter bills. Now, why this is a couple of seasons here until after January that people are always giving, the least place they usually give to is to the homeless, and at least to our place anyway. So our donations slow down through November and December anyway. They don't usually pick up until January. So pray about it, or pray about just being a monthly supporter. We've been doing this. This is our 13th Thanksgiving, like I said, and this is the 13 years we've been doing it. We've helped thousands upon thousands of people with no help from any government agency or organized church or group. The Father has used those of you who listen to us on radio to archive, to achieve the things He wants us to do. Not so many of you that listen We might not keep the same days as we do, but we can all agree on one thing, and that is caring for one another. Caring for the poor and those who cannot help themselves is serving God the Father. For we serve Him by serving others. Consider helping us be there when they come to the Mission Church door. So many calories for food, clothing, Bibles, prayers, healing. Well, that list just goes on and on and on. People, they just keep coming and coming and coming, and, well, they need our help. They need your help. Help us care for the people the Father sends us. Anyway, if each one of you that listen to this broadcast donates a little something, I know it would be impossible to get everybody that listens to donate something, but pray about it. If it hits you in the heart, pray about donating something. Well, anyway, you can donate online by mailing a check or money order, and you can find this information at prophecyhour.com. Or if you're listening on radio, like a bunch of you, you can call me at 620-878-4682. And now we're back talking about Ben Ghazi, David Petraeus, and we're talking with Ben Barrett. Are you there, Ben?
I'm right here.
All right. We were saying, actually we were focusing on the female end of this, I think, before break.
Yeah. So Paula Broadwell, who is his biographer, gives this speech on October 26th and divulges what could be accurate information. And, you know, despite the fact that the CIA is denying it all, you know, well, why is her home being raided and why do we have reports now of top secret information on her computer, all this, you know, all this stuff on her hard drive, and so she appeared to divulge some information there that would indicate that if it's true, if it's and that's very important, if it's true what she said about the attack being the result of an attempt to rescue Libyan prisoners from secret prisoners from the annex, then what Petraeus said 2 days after the 9/11 attack was not correct, and he wouldn't have known that it wasn't correct because she also said that they knew the truth about the attack within 24 hours.
Right.
So then you have to start looking at why would he give such testimony? Well, on September 13th, he knew that they were being investigated. He knew that he was under investigation. I mean, the FBI was investigating him this past spring. So, you know, was he, and this is, you know, you don't take my word for it, this is stuff that Charles Krauthammer said yesterday on Fox News. He talked about, and that's on the article that I wrote today, that video, you can watch him, that Petraeus likely believed that had, since he knew, that they knew about the affair, that had he played ball, that he would not suffer consequences. Well, here we are on November, I guess it would have been November 8th, that, you know, the president finds out and he has to resign, Petraeus has to resign on the 9th. So whatever it was, it didn't work. And now Petraeus has agreed to testify behind closed session this Friday, later this week, about in closed session, where, you know, when he resigned, we were told that the acting director, his replacement, Michael Morrell,
right,
which I think we can learn more about him, but his replacement was going to do the testifying. But, you know, these congressmen and senators are saying, well, now wait a minute, that's not okay. I mean, he can testify, but Petraeus is going to have to testify at some point. Well, apparently, Petraeus decided that he would come forward voluntarily and testify in front of the House and Senate Intelligence Committees behind closed session.
Okay. Now, let me break in for a minute.
Yeah.
Because with my memory, I'll forget before we get to it. I want to back up here, folks, to Charles Krauthammer? I don't know how you pronounce that exactly.
Charles Krauthammer, yeah.
I really like this guy because he's the one, he is actually a psychiatrist. And so even though I heard him say during an election period of time, he said, well, I don't play a psychiatrist on TV. But, you know, that has to, his thinking that when it comes to conclusions, you know that that has to go into it. You know, what do you think, Ben? So getting into his head and saying it, he usually is pretty accurate in what he says, right?
No, that's a good angle to this, is Krauthammer's, you know, expertise in that regard. So you know, obviously, if Petraeus knows that they know about his affair, he's compromised.
Right.
He is exactly in the, he's in the exact position that those high in the administration are concerned about, you know, people being in, as far as being compromised and open to blackmail. Well, who is it that had motive to see this man blackmailed? Well, for goodness sakes, the administration. The administration had motive if they wanted to push the narrative that the video was responsible for the attack. They sent Susan Rice, the UN ambassador, out to 5 Sunday talk shows on September 16th to tell all talk shows that the attack was spawned because of the videos. Well, just 3 days before that, Petraeus went out and told the House and Senate committees the same thing. But according to Paula Broadwell, a month and a half later, on October 26th, they knew what it was, and it wasn't the video, and they knew within 24 hours. So that would mean that Petraeus, that would mean that he gave knowingly false testimony,
right,
if true. And if true, the reason to give a false testimony, one can logically conclude it would be that he did not want this stuff to come out about his extramarital affair. Now, this is a man, and when you're talking about top military brass, you're talking about people that pride themselves on honor and duty and love of country and all of that. Now, this guy is probably at a low point of his life right now, obviously, and I don't think anybody should relish in that.
No,
and
not
I think
at all.
There's something in Proverbs about not, you know, not gloating over you know, the feet of your enemies.
Absolutely. Let me butt in here and say, I want to say something about him. And so this is in my thought pattern, is, folks, you need to really pray for this man, in the fact being that he's going to testify this Friday. And, you know, all his life, he's been a courageous man. He's, like Ben says, it's been love of country, love of God. And when he's asked in a closed session of just pray that for his own well-being and for the well-being of the country, but that he does bring forth the truth. And don't you think, Ben, that it'd be awful hard for him to go in there and lie? I mean, you know, now that the cat's out of the bag, he could get it before. You think they could really do it again?
Well, you know, this is, you know, not to go back to the book, Pastor Dan, but this
go
is the
back
kind
to
of
book.
Thing, well, this is the kind of thing where, you know, good men will stand up when, you know, when it's really, really called for and it's really, really hard to do, and your opponent is so much bigger than you. I mean, you contrast Tyrone Woods. Tyrone Woods was the Navy SEAL who disobeyed an order to stand down at the annex and put his life and his career at risk to go save the people at the consulate.
Right.
He lost both. He lost his life and he lost his career, obviously. Now,
obviously,
you have General David Petraeus here, CIA director, who gave what appears to be false testimony 2 days after that attack. Now, at this point, he has got to be doing some self-examination and saying, look, comparing himself to Tyrone Woods, I don't know how he doesn't do that. I don't know how he doesn't sit down and say, this man gave all, he gave his life, and he died an honorable man, and here I am, you know, giving false testimony because I don't want something sorted about my background coming out. He has got to be examining that right now. And if he does have honor left, he will do the very difficult thing and tell the truth. I mean, in full, in toto, because
right.
if this man, if the truth is, and I know that we're speculating a little bit here, but
that's
if the
right.
truth, if the truth is that the administration blackmails him in some form or fashion to give false testimony, he can, by telling the truth now, he can change world history.
Yeah,
now, the
absolutely.
Question is, the question is he going to do that? And it's really hard to say, but you and I and everyone else knows that, you know, we all have consciences, and regardless of what happened before, you tell the truth regardless of future consequences.
Right.
It's just, you, when you have to do that, you have to do that. And unfortunately for him, he's in a tough spot, but that's the right way to go. And if
right.
if he doesn't, then he's got even more dishonor heaped on all the dishonor he's already got.
Right. I don't think a man like, and that's what I'm saying, folks. I don't think a man of his nature could live with that dishonesty for the rest of his life, especially now then that it's what he was wanting to keep concealed is out. You know,
yeah.
He was trying to keep the affair concealed, apparently. And I, again, speculation, but if that is indeed the case, then that's out. And so, yeah, you're right. He could change world history, and that may be very well why this man was allowed to be into this position in order to bring, because it would bring down Barack Obama. If he testifies that they had him do this, you know, blackmail him to do it, that's impeachment material, undoubtedly, is it not?
Well, you would think so. I mean, but we are talking about the Democrats who believe in the ends justify the means. They believe that it's war, it's not politics, that the arena is bloody, and
right.
that they will do whatever they have to get what they want.
Well, but doesn't impeachment come from the House?
That's right. Impeachment would come from the House. And here's another thing, and I've written about this too, is there is a what I think is we're headed for the fiscal cliff. On January 1, we have a president who is, you know, who is steeped in ideology that is far left-wing, Marxist, radical,
right.
And one of those, one of the people, you know, the group of people that he is, that he knows about is Francis Fox Piven
right.
and Richard Cloward, the Cloward-Piven strategy, and their objective, and he's very familiar with this, was in the 1960s, was to overwhelm the welfare rolls to collapse the system. Well, I mean, we're in the middle right now of a situation where the American economy is being collapsed, despite what, you know, what things he says. I mean, because actions speak so much louder than words to those who have ears, but the economy is on the brink of collapse. So, it's almost like two elevators. I liken it to two elevators.
Mm-hmm.
There is a way that the media and even maybe possibly Democratic members of the Senate and Congress might turn on him. And the one of the ways that would be is something as egregious as this. This Benghazi thing continues to unfold, and if it's discovered that he was involved, and his top levels of his administration were involved in the blackmail of a CIA director, for crying out loud.
Mm-hmm.
That would be one thing, and I think that the Democrats would still circle the wagons around that. But when you couple that with the economy, should the economy collapse, this is the elevator thing, as the economy goes down and the scandal that is Benghazi / Petraeus goes up, I think you're dealing with a double whammy against Obama. And again, this is speculation, and I'm not predicting that this is going to happen. But you can see a scenario under which something like that could damage him. And you know, there's a lot to play out here. And I think that you know, at the end of the day, David Petraeus absolutely must. And I hope he's doing a lot of praying right now, and for praying for a lot of strength. For courage, for faith, for all that. I hope that he's doing that, because he's getting, as they say, a second bite of the apple here.
Right.
And that is telling the truth. And I think we all know that there is much, much more to this than what we know. So
even if
the truth is not necessarily that he was blackmailed, there is a lot more to this that this administration is stonewalling, and Petraeus knows a lot of that stuff.
Right.
So I hope that he decides to do the right thing.
Well, let's say this. You know, I do believe, folks, that if you listen to people, that a lot of things, especially if they're concealing things, comes out in their speech, whether they want it to or not, or whether it's directly involved. And I thought it was interesting that Obama said today when they were talking about denying about Rice replacing Hillary Clinton as the Secretary of State, and they were talking about opposing her. And
right.
he said don't come at, why would you go after Rice when she's just repeating basically what I gave her, what she was given. So, you know, there's another part of it. Well, you know, he's pointing a finger back to himself. You know, understand what I'm saying?
Yeah. He absolutely did that today. That was an interesting find by Daniel Harper at the Weekly Standard. And I think it's very telling as to why he really doesn't like tough questions, because, you know, he can obfuscate, stonewall, and avoid answering them, and maybe that's not necessarily his concern. Maybe his bigger concern is that in giving that answer, he does what you just said. The truth accidentally slips out. And the deal with Susan Rice is the U.N. ambassador, our U.N. ambassador. And on September 16th, 5 days after the attack, she was traipsed out and spoke to five different Sunday shows. And the questions that were surrounding that were, well, why did she go out there, and who sent her out there? And well, that second question was answered today by none other than Barack Obama himself. Here we are more than 2 months later, and it finally comes out, and it came out because of a question asked to him by Jonathan Carl of ABC News, where he wanted to know Obama's reaction to John McCain and Lindsey Graham and Senator Kelly Iowa out of, I believe, New Hampshire, where they're saying, look, this talk of Susan Rice being nominated for Secretary of State, and Lindsey Graham said he doesn't trust her based on the information she gave on the Sunday shows. John McCain said he will not, he will do everything in his power to prevent her from becoming Secretary of State, and it got under Obama's skin. And in delivering his response, he said, why would you go after Susan Rice when, you know, she was sent out there by the White House? Bingo. Yeah, that's what we needed. Thank you.
Right.
Thank you very much.
Right.
You know, and that's
the
kind of stuff.
White House.
That's right. So we're getting this stuff. And, you know, look, we got plenty of time. You know, Barack Obama is feeling pretty good because he just won re-election. And he's got four more years. Well, he may have just won re-election, but he's got some things, and he's some very, very serious things he's got to deal with. And we got plenty of time. I mean, they tried to run out the clock with Fast and Furious. Well, here we are with a bigger scandal.
Okay, let's go with this, and we're going to have to sew it up, folks. I'll tell you, there's a lot of things out there about him that a lot of people, maybe in Congress and in other places, said, well, we'll just let the election take care of it. The election didn't take care of it. So sit back and watch. Be active, but sit back and watch and just see. It's going to be interesting to see what comes out and doesn't come out, because I believe a lot of these people aren't going to want him for another 4 years. Anyway, Ben, tell them again about where your place is at, to listen to your radio and all the rest of that. Get the book, though. You got to tell them that, too.
Yeah. Unsung David, 10 Men Who Battled Goliath Without Glory. You can pick that up at the website, benberrick.com. And you can also read the daily. I post daily there, and I try to offer unique content, analysis, and not just posting things every day. So you'll get a different take on things. And then also check out shoebot.com, shoebat.com, and you'll also get unique perspectives there, and a lot of breaking stuff. I mean, there has been some pretty established writers that have picked up Wally's stuff Andrew McCarthy at National Review has picked up his stuff. Jeffrey Lord at the American Spectator and others. And, you know, he like I said, he's got this ability to really dig into the weeds of some areas that nobody gets into.
Right.
And it has a lot of it has connection to the West and to the United States.
Right, absolutely. And folks, what Ben contributes to that is really makes it a balanced thing. So check it out, shoebatman.com, but go to Ben's site. You can find links for all that there. But again, we've had another interesting program, Ben, and I'm glad you've been on with me. And, you know, I want to have you back again, too. So goodbye and shalom to you, my brother. Bye-bye.
All right, you too, Ben.
All right. Folks, pray about supporting the Wichita Mission Church. And remember, no matter what, and no matter how down you get, you know, in fact, when I get really down, one of the things that helps me get up is not by sitting there and drowning in my problems, but go helping other people with their problems. And, you know, that's what the Father wants us to do. He wants us to carry each other's burdens. Be a blessing to others. Always be a blessing to others. How can you not be a blessing to others if you have the Holy Spirit within you? Whether it's a hello to a down person or some good speech to them or, you know, so many, many, many other things. Anyway, Thanksgiving is a time that we like to really give thanks to the Father. We won't talk to you again until Thanksgiving. The program that you'll hear on live radio this next Thursday will be a program that Stan Johnson and I are going to do, and that program's going to be about Stan's going to tell us how the Noah's Ark proves the Bible. It's going to be a real good program. Tune in Thursday night if you're not doing anything out of football, or go to the archives and listen to it. But remember, there's only one God, and that is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. His son is Yeshua HaMashiach, who gave his life for our repented sins. He rose after 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. And through him, and only him, is the only way to the Father. Remember to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, and all your soul. This is the first and great commandment. The second is likened to it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. That's like praying for Messiah's return. Lord our God, Father, King of the universe, ask in Yeshua HaMashiach's name that the Father blesses and keeps you, and his face shines upon you, and is gracious to you, and gives you peace like no one or nothing else can. Until next time, this is Pastor Dan saying goodbye and shalom.
You've just heard the Messiah's Branch broadcast featuring Pastor Dan. To contact Dan on the internet, go to messiahsbranch.org. Write to Dan, send a note to Messiah's Branch, 230 West 4th Street, Florence, Kansas, 66851. Tune in next time to Messiah's Branch.